न धनं न जनं न सुन्दरी कवितां वा जगदीश कामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनि ईश्वरे भवताद् भक्ति अहितुकी त्वयि। O Lord and Soul of the Universe, mine is no prayer for wealth or retinue, the playthings of lust or the toys of fame. As many times as I may be reborn, grant me, O Lord, a steadfast love for Thee. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace. Peace, peace. Bhakti aphorisms of Narada. Tonight we are going to begin this new devotional scripture. This is the one of the popular scriptures in India. Gita, Bhagavatam are also very popular, but for the devotees, these bhakti aphorisms of Narada are very helpful. Before I begin the text of the scripture, I shall tell you first the story of Narada. The name Narada is very interesting. We find the name of Narada in the Rig Veda, in the Samaveda, in the Bhagavatam, in the Mahabharata, in the Ramayana, and afterwards, after later scriptures too. So it is quite ancient scripture. Narada means Nara, one meaning is water. Da means giver. He who gives water, what does it mean? It means that person practice so much austerity. Austerity in this respect, tarpana. Tarpana is a special kind of offering of water to gods and the ancestors. This discipline is very interesting to you because you are not, you do not know how do they worship their ancestors in India. There is a time in autumn, 15 days, a person will go to the river and will take water with his two hands. And offer to the deity and offer to their ancestors is a special kind of tarpana, just to please those deities. So Narada practiced that so much, so he got the word name Narada. Another meaning of Narada is Nara means knowledge of God, knowledge of Brahman. He who has knowledge of Brahman is called Narada. Anyhow, There are two hymns in the Rig Veda where we get the reference of Narada. Those mantras run, "This divine minstrel devoted to thee offered thee hymn oblations in season. O Lord, wonderfully glorious, thou art holy and thou makest all holy, so I declare." This is from Rig Veda, 109th Mandala, 104 and 105. Then we find this Narada went to a holy person named Sanat Kumara for the knowledge of Brahman. He went to Sanat Kumara and said, Aham Shochami, I am submerged with grief. I am covered with pain. Covered with pain means my mind is heavy with pain. What do you want? Well, I have heard that if you know Brahman, you will never succumb to pain and suffering. So I came to know Brahman from you. Sanat Kumara said, what have you read? What have you studied? I read Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Yajur Veda, Atharva Veda. I read grammar, etymology. I know 64 branches of learning. Still my mind is submerged with grief. Oh. So Sanat Kumara started to give instructions to Narada. After 23 or 24 questions, Narada came to know from Sanat Kumara that real bliss, the happiness, is in the infinite. Bhumaiva Sukham, infinite is bliss. Don't be satisfied with the finite things. And if you know this infinite, you will transcend all types of limitations, grief, misery, suffering, pain, everything. Next we find the reference of Narada in the Bhagavata Purana, Bhagavata. The story goes, Vyasa wrote the Bhagavatam, first he wrote Mahabharata, 100,000 verses, the great epics of the Hindus, including the Gita. Then he wrote 18 Puranas. Then he wrote Brahma Sutra, the systematized form of Vedanta philosophy. He compiled the four Vedas. So Vyasa was quite a character, quite a person, according to Hindu tradition or Vedantic tradition. Without Vyasa, you cannot think of Vedanta. He was the person who compiled the four Vedas, who systematized Vedanta philosophy, who wrote the Gita. So he is the author of three prasthanas, the base of the substratum of Vedanta philosophy. So Vyasa said to Narada that I am also full of heaviness. I am dry. I have no joy inside. Narada said, well, you stressed the intellectual aspect of your life, but you never opened your heart. Now try to write something which will please your heart. So Narada suggested Vyasa to write Bhagavatam. Narada said, you recorded the message of God in the Gita, but you did not write his life. His biography is not in the Gita, Krishna. So Vyasa wrote the Bhagavatam, the beautiful biography of Krishna. And thus he got some devotion. So some people say that Narada wrote this bhakti aphorism for Vyasa so that fellow can get a little devotion, a little love for God. Narada told Vyasa his life story. I was the son of a maid servant. Once upon a time, some holy people came to stay in our village. And they stayed for 4 months. My mother used to serve them. And she engaged me also to serve those holy people. I was quite young. I used to serve those holy people, and those holy people would give me prasad. And I was quite free with them. And they used to tell me so many stories. After 4 months, those holy people left. I was not inclined to spiritual life at all. But they talked so beautiful things that my heart was soaked with some kind of love and devotion. All of a sudden, my mother was killed by a snake bite. And I was an orphan. So I did not stay at home, I left. I went toward the north and entered a deep forest. And one day I was feeling so pang of separation from God that I was crying. And Lord appeared before me. I had the vision of God. And after a while, Lord disappeared. I was crying again. I heard the divine voice, Narada, I gave you my vision once. You will see me later. Then we find the story of Narada in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. According to that Purana, Brahma, the creator, first created few people from his own mind. They call it Manasputra. We think that, you know, the children come through the meeting of the parents, not necessarily. Satya Sankalpa Purusha, the person whose mind, who is established in truth, can create anything through the mind. Whole world is nothing but the creation of the mind. Of course, it is hard to believe, you know, that how Brahma could create it. Well, he did. Anyhow, Brahma created first Shanak, Sananda, Sanatana, Sanat Kumara, four persons, and asked them, procreate some children so that I can get my creation. They were so pure that immediately, as soon as they were created, they sat for meditation and they were immersed in samadhi. Because they came from the shattik, the best aspect of the mind of Brahma. So the father, the creator, it is a Puranic story, mind that. If you hear the theory of creation according to Vedanta, that is a different story. So Brahma was helpless, what to do? He said, oof, I created you for creation and you people started meditation. So he was unsuccessful. He tried second time. Next time, Marichi, Atri, the different sages were born from the mind of Brahma. Narada also was one of them. But they had the same inclination for meditation. They said, oh no, father, please forgive me. Our minds are not going to create anything in this world. Brahma was very much disgusted. He said, Narada, that you fellows, you did not obey me, so you will be like a vagabond. So Narada was actually a vagabond. I shall tell you more about his vagabond life. Anyhow, Brahma was unsuccessful. I think at the third time, he created Daksha Prajapati. They created children, and thus the creation evolved. This is the mythological story. Now, Narada used to travel all over the world, all over heaven, all over intermediary space region, intermediary region. He had that power. He had a veena which he used to play. There is a beautiful verse here in the from the Bhagavatam. Oh blessed is indeed Devarshi Narada, who goes about playing on his veena, singing the praises of Lord Hari, and through the intoxication of that song scatters joy throughout the afflicted world. So he has an instrument, musical instrument. With that instrument he glorifies God all the time. He carries the message of God all over the world. Later, we find Narada is instructing spiritual life, instructing how to worship God, how to pray to God, to Dhruva, to Prahlada, and other people. As we discussed the change of Vyasa's life, we find a similar story in the Ramayana. It is Narada who changed the life of Valmiki so that he could write the life of Rama. You remember Valmiki was the highwayman who attacked a holy man. He was Narada, and tied him with a rope, and he wanted to rob him. Narada said, "Do you know by robbing others you are incurring sin?" He said, "Yes, that is true, but I am doing it for my old mother, for my wife, for my children. This is my profession. You better go to home and ask them whether they will take share of your sin or not. You tie me with a rope, which is fine, but you better first go and check." Ratnakar, at that time he was not Valmiki, he went to home and asked his wife and mother, all refused to take share from him. So he came back and became the disciple of Narada, and thus his life was changed. He became illumined and wrote the life of Rama. That is called Valmiki Ramayana. Now we find that Narada is taking a very important role in the religious tradition of India. He wrote several books. It is impossible to ascertain whether these four works, Narada Bhakti Sutra, Narada Smriti, Narada Shiksha, and Sangeeta Makaranda, have come from the same author. Probably we owe them to different authors. A writer, you know, made a comment about those four books. Three other works, Narada Paribrajaka Upanishad, Naradiya Purana, and Narada Pancharatna, are also associated with the name Narada, not as the author, but as the inspirer. Narada Paribrajaka Upanishad is a beautiful Upanishad for the monastics, where we find many monastic vows, how to practice that monastic life that is purely non-dualistic. Narada Pancharatna also is a very beautiful devotional scripture. But all those scriptures are not very popular, but this Bhakti Sutra is very, very popular. Narada Sri Ramakrishna made a comment about this Bhakti Sutra, that in this Kali Yuga, Iron Age, people are very much body conscious. It is very convenient for those people to practice this Bhapata Bhakti. In this age, it is hard to practice austerity. He referred Narada's way is the best way in this Kali Yuga. He said Narada was an illumined soul. He kept his ego for teaching others. In the Mahabharata, Bhishma told a long story about Narada to Yudhishthira. It is a beautiful story. Let me read a little from the Mahabharata. O King, I shall briefly recount the noble traits of Narada's character. I want to tell you about the author of this book so that you may understand that who wrote this scripture. You know, in India, we are very particular about the author. If you are not well established in love or devotion or knowledge, you are not supposed to teach others. So we are first curious to know about the person, the personality behind the scripture. O King, I shall briefly recount the noble traits of Narada's character. The deadly pride of having a high character never enters his mind. Although he possesses secret learning and noble conduct to perfection, he is honored everywhere because he possesses a full measure of spiritual dignity, glory, intellectual penetration, tact, humility, noble birth, austerity and heroism. And he is free from discontent, anger, unsteadiness and procrastination. Assuredly, he deserves worship, for he never deviates from his word moved by lust or greed. High honor is paid to Narada everywhere, because he is possessed of true self-knowledge, forbearance, tranquility, sense control, straightforwardness, truthfulness in speech, firm love for God, high spirit, holy wisdom, compassion, and an undeluded mind and shining manners. He can be easily accommodated, for he is gifted with dignity, sweet decorum, purity, and power of good speech, and has no envy. Certainly, he is doing what is auspicious, and no sin stains him. He never finds pleasure in others' perils. He secures his ends with the aid of scriptural wisdom and knowledge of past events. Meek and equitable to all, he despises none. Hence also, he neither likes nor dislikes anyone specially. He is vastly learned and endowed with the wonderful gift of diverse speech, and is never lazy or stubborn. He practices meditation not for securing esteem from others. He is leagues away from self-pride and speaks always softly. In this way, it is a long conversation, in this way we find the noble traits of Narada. Narada was a great musician, a roaming ambassador. He carries news from God, from heaven to the earth, earth to the heaven. Krishna said, O Narada, neither do I dwell in heaven nor in the hearts of the yogis. I stay where my devotees glorify me. So Narada sings about the Lord all the time. One day Sri Ramakrishna told this parable. Once God was very much displeased with Narada and he said, "You will have to go to hell." Narada said, "Lord, I do not understand. Could you make a diagram on your floor, what is heaven and what is hell?" So God made a diagram on the floor, and Narada immediately fell there and rolled over that diagram and said, "Lord, my hell is over." "What? That is a fictitious diagram. That is not real hell. Lord, you said that is hell, so it is hell. So my hell business is finished." See the devotion, see the love and faith of Narada. Sri Ramakrishna told many beautiful stories about Narada. You remember that Swamiji also mentioned in his Gyana Yoga, one day Narada wanted to know what is Maya. So Krishna asked him to bring a glass of water, and he went and fell in love with a girl, and after 12 years he had few children. And in the meantime, that flood came and Narada tried to escape, and he lost his wife and children. And in the meantime, Krishna asked, "Where is my water?" "Oh Lord, you are waiting for me." "Yes, half an hour is passed and you did not bring water." "Oh, in my mind, 12 years has passed." You know, that is a beautiful story in the complete works of Swami Vivekananda about Maya. So I try to give you the background of Narada. What is the name of this book? Bhakti Sutra. Bhakti means devotions, divine love. Bhaj dhatu iktin pratyay. It is a Sanskrit word. Bhaj means to worship, to adore, to love. Ti, it is a feminine gender, bhakti, bhakta, masculine gender. So bhakti means devotion, divine love. It is not an ordinary love, divine love. Sutra, sutra means, the actual sutra means thread. Sutra means indication, means if you want to know about God, you hold the thread which Narada presented to us, and holding one after another, you will reach the goal. So sutra means in a knowledge in a capsule form, that is also called sutra. Perhaps I told you when I explained sutra in Patanjali's Yoga Aphorism, that the author of the sutra is ready to give up his wife and children, but he will not expand the aphorism. Means they love their very small capsule form of knowledge. There is a saying of Shakespeare, "Brevity is the soul of wit." Brevity is the soul of wit. So these makers of aphorism, the authors of these aphorisms, want to put everything in a capsule form so that the more you will break it, the more joy will come to you. There are three types of writings in this world. One is few words but maximum ideas. That is the Upanishad. That is the bhakti aphorisms, sutras. The second type of writing, the word and meaning, 50-50, they go together. Every word has its own meaning. Some kind of literature you will find, everything is half-half. Third kind of literature is called descriptive literature. Perhaps 5 pages, only 1 or 2 same meanings. Meaning is very little, but words, verbose, full of wordings. There are 3 types of writings. You can, when you read the books, you automatically you will be able to understand that what type of writer is that person. So these bhakti aphorisms are pregnant with profound philosophy. Sutra. It is a classical text of the devotional school of Vedanta. It is clear, simple, thoughtful. It is not the approach of the heart. It is not the approach of the intellect. It is the approach of the heart. And the language of the heart is understood by all. Narada described his life's experience in this Bhakti Sutra. Not only that, he collected the experiences of other sages and will tell us that how they experienced devotion in their lives. Now, I shall begin the text. Atha Om Athato Bhaktim Vyakhya Syamaha Om. It is an auspicious word, the symbol of Brahman. Om. Atha, now. Ataha, therefore. Bhaktim, devotion, religion of love. Religion of divine love, vyakhya syamaha, we shall expound, we shall comment on. Now, you see, you may find these words are very simple. Atha means now, ataha means therefore, bhakti means devotion, vyakhya syamaha means we shall explain or we shall expound. Everything is so simple. It is not so simple as you think. First, atha means after attaining the qualification of devotion, one should inquire about devotion. Do you have the qualification? We, in that little word, atha, now, or then, that your competency is hidden in that very little word, atha. When we read the Brahma Sutra, the first aphorism is Athato Brahma Jiggasa. Now, therefore, an inquiry of Brahman. If you read this Mimamsa Sutra, Athato Dharma Jiggasa. Now, therefore, an inquiry about Dharma. What is Dharma? Chodana Lakshanartam Dharma. The desire which forces you to work for meritorious result is called dharma. The desire which forces a person to do meritorious act is called dharma, according to Mimamsa philosophy. Mimamsa means the ritualistic school of the Vedas. Vedas has two parts, Mimamsa, Purva Mimamsa, Uttar Mimamsa. Purva Mimamsa means ritual, Vedic sacrifice. Uttar Mimamsa means purely philosophical aspect of Vedanta, Upanishads. That is called Uttar Mimamsa. So, Athato Brahma Jiggasa. Now, therefore, an inquiry of Brahman. Atha means, do you have the competency to know, to inquire about Brahman? What qualification, what type of qualification do you want? Well, adau nitta nitta vastu viveka samadamadi shatka sampatti. First, what is, you will have to discriminate what is real, what is unreal. Second, non-attachment. Third, self-discipline. Fourth, burning desire for liberation. If you want to be a student of Vedanta, you need these four qualifications. Discrimination, non-attachment, self-control, desire for liberation. These are the four qualifications are necessary. Sir, what type of qualification do you want if I want to be a student of bhakti? No qualification is necessary. This is the great advantage. The sutra refers to the reason that prompted Narada to write on bhakti in preference to jnana and karma. His reasons might be that 1. Bhakti by itself leads to God realization and escape from samsara, this relative existence. That it is the easiest of all paths. 3. That it is the only path available to all people, all creatures. 4. That it is a help even to those who aspire for knowledge. 5. That even jnanis, after realization, sometimes take to bhakti for the sake of the sweetness of loving relationship with God. 6. And that he himself, above all, is eager to share his bliss of love with others. Now, what other qualifications are necessary to practice bhakti? It is an interesting question. A firm faith in the grace of God and in the possibility of escape from the round of birth and death with the help of God and His saints is the only special qualification for the study of Bhakti Sutra and the practice of divine love. Even illiteracy is no bar, nor a previous record of vicious life. On this point, there are the following authorities. Here I shall read you a few verses from the Gita, which will tell you that there are four kinds of people try to love God. Try to know about God. First, artho, sick person, an afflicted soul who is terribly suffering in this world, is trying to worship God so that he could get rid of this pain and suffering. Second, jiggasu, an inquirer, casual inquirer. Well, I am not happy in my life. Maybe I can try a spiritual life. What is God? Who is God? A casual inquirer. The third, arthati, those who have desires for worldly enjoyment. They want, Lord, give me more strength, more power, more money, more enjoyable things. These people also worship God. And jnani, lover, real lover. So among these, all four people are good. Otherwise, they will not call on God. The man who is seeking wealth, he is also calling God. So all four are good people. But jnani is very special. Then Krishna said to Arjuna, even a hard-baked sinner, if he comes to have unswerving love for the Lord, must be regarded as righteous. for he has decided aright. He soon becomes righteous and obtains lasting peace. Proclaim it boldly, O Arjuna, that my devotees never perishes. For those who take refuge and abide in me, women, business people, low caste people, nay, even those on whom their past deeds have imposed the very worst of births, attain to highest goal. So this text of the Gita and also other scriptures tell us that everybody can practice bhakti, path of love, path of devotion. He may be rich, he may be poor, man, woman, high caste, low caste, literate, illiterate. Everybody can practice bhakti, devotion. Moreover, we find a beautiful verse in the Bhagavatam where Krishna said to his friend and cousin Uddhava, listen, there are some people in this world who have a little attachment for the world, and at the same time they have a little attachment for the world, for God too. For them bhakti works splendidly. I have some desire for the world, at the same time I have a little love for God too. Bhakti works very well to those people, because he wants to stay in two places, and bhakti keeps balance. Narad Ramanuja give some signs, some qualifications to attain bhakti. First, discrimination, viveka, or discrimination in food. 2, vimoka, or freedom from desires. 3, abhyasa, or practice. 4, kriya, or doing good to others. 5, kalyana, or purity consisting of truthfulness, straightforwardness, kindness, non-violence, charity, etc. Anavasada, or cheerfulness. 7, anudharsa, or absence of excessive hilarity. So Ramanuja said that if you have these things, you will be able to attain bhakti very fast, very soon. Ataha bhaktim vyakhyasyamaha. Narada says, vyakhyasyamaha means I shall expound to you. Vyakhyasama is plural number. We shall expound to you. We means Narada is representing other illumined souls also, because he quoted their names in his books. He said, not only I am giving my experience to you as a testimony of divine love, but look, these other illumined souls also speak in the same way as I say to you, as I tell you. So that you can get some conviction. Yes, it is true. All people experience the same divine love. Bhaktim vyakhyasyamaha. You need only a little love for God. Sri Ramakrishna said, so long you have desire for the world, it is very difficult to put the mind on God. You may give thousands of lectures to a worldly minded person, it will not work. You cannot make any dent with nails on a rock. However you hammer on it, the nail will break. So you cannot change the mind of a worldly person. The time factor is there. If that person hears about love of God, about God, I shall tell you in my next class that 11, what is called, 11 stages of devotion. So if you hear about God, about bhakti, about devotion, gradually devotion will come. Show me how. Well, swadu, sadhu, pade, pade. When you put food into your mouth, what do? You bite right side, left side with your teeth. You move around inside your mouth, on the tongue, on the palate. And you, in this way, you get the taste of the food. And all of a sudden, you throw the food inside your mouth and swallow it, you won't get the taste. Same thing with this devotion. You hear about it, think about it, talk about it, gradually love for God will increase. Sri Ramakrishna said that many people come here and I watch them. Those who are worldly, I ask them, you go and see those beautiful buildings of Rani Rashmani. And they are happy immediately they leave the room. And sometimes, you know, some devotees would come, their friends, to Sri Ramakrishna, and they would say, well, you know, you better hear about this, you know, spiritual talk, we shall wait for you in the boat. You know, they would come from Calcutta by boat. We shall wait for you in the boat. Please, we shall be there. You see, I have noticed some people, they feel so uncomfortable when they hear about God, about spiritual life. They feel restless. It means time has not yet come. It is not his or her fault. Time factor is there. Sri Ramakrishna, in connection with time, Sri Ramakrishna told another parable that a little boy was telling his mother, "Mother, when I feel the urge for bathroom, please call me." The mother said, "Oh, my son, I will not have to call you. Your urge will force you to go to the bathroom." Same thing. When you feel that urge for God, you can't sleep. You can't stay. You know, you can lead any comfortable, easygoing life. So we finish the first aphorism tonight. From our next class, we shall begin the second aphorism. If you have any question, please ask.
At one point, you said that the Gaudi is very special. Did you mean the Gaudi or the Bhakti?
This Gyani means his one-pointed devotion. Gyani means. You see, definition of jnana, according to Shankara, is swasvarupa anusandhanam iti bhakti. He who continuously trying to realize his own self is called devotion. Shankara twisted. Devotion means, do you know what is devotion? You are a lover. This is the beloved. And this is the process. of loving. Means three things are necessary: love, lover, beloved. Shankara twisted it. He said, Swasvarupo anusandhanamiti bhakti, he who searches his own self is called devotion. You see, he will have to establish the Vedanta philosophy, non-dualistic Vedanta. See, he does not care that love, God, all these things. Of course, he discussed love in the Gita commentary. He wrote so many beautiful hymns of love and devotion. I'm just telling you, which is in the Crest Jewel of Discrimination in the Viveka Chudamani. So here, Jnani means the person who has one-pointed devotion. It may be on the self, it may be on God, does not matter. In that respect, he is very special.
Swami, you were giving us a meaning of Nara.
Mm-hmm.
The desire to do right. It means something then like conscience or conscientiousness.
Well, the three meanings are there actually. I gave you only two. One meaning, as I told you, Nara means water. That he who pours, you know, who he did many austerities by pouring oblations to God. That is one meaning. Second meaning, Nara means knowledge of God, knowledge of Brahman is called Narada. The person who has knowledge of Brahman is called Narada. They derive these words in such a nice way. You know, I did not talk the Sanskrit portion, which is an interesting. Then another Narada means Naram Paramatma Vishayakam Jnanam Dadati Iti Narada. The name explained thus: Naram means Paramatma Vishayakam Jnanam, knowledge of the Supreme Self. Dadati, he who gives, he is Narada. Another Narada meaning is Naram Narasamuham Kalahena Dyati Khandayati Iti Narada. Narada's another, Naram is he who creates problems and solves the problems of the people is called Narada. He is a troubleshooter, you know, Narada. Among gods and human beings, you will find wherever there is any problem, Narada is there. Or he creates problem also because he carries the message. He went to Shiva and said, you know, I hear your father-in-law has started a sacrifice and he did not invite you. It is not proper. Shiva became mad, you know. So in this way, he creates problems, he solves problems. So in that respect, you know, he is called Narada. It is an interesting way they talk about these holy people. But anyhow, Narada is an important character. Asatu ma sadgamaya, tamasu ma jyotirgamaya, mrittur ma amritam gamaya, avira birma yedhi, rudra jate dakshinam mukham, tenamam pahi nityam, om shanti 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 him. Lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from death to immortality. Light us through and through, and guide us evermore with thy loving presence. Peace, peace, peace.